has in some ways a new chapter in their life. And so it is in many respects. One of the things that we've noted in these past few weeks is that there seems to be a great deal of attention being given to exercise. And of course that is very important. Even climbing mountains seems to be all the rage at the moment. And I'll let you know if I climb on anything soon. But nonetheless, it's something that seems to be very popular at the present time. And every road you look, whether it is in exercise or in some other material aspect of things, people are looking to the outer man. Now, you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to look after ourselves. But I'm sure a Christian like me, it hasn't gone unnoticed as far as you're concerned, that through 2020, just like so many other years, there are remarkably few who are sparing much more than a thought for the well-being of their soul. And therefore, it is so important that men and women are prayed under the sound of the word, that God deals with hearts as they listen to the word, because the word shows to men, well, it shows to men the value of their soul. Considering Matthew 16, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Absolutely nothing. But the Bible also shows men how in Proverbs 8:36, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Is any number of people willing to do that? Scripture shows how a man wrongs his own soul by neglecting it. Bible very solemnly teaches us about the ruin of the soul. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And therefore, on this first Sunday evening of 2021, in the mind of every Christian here, the welfare of souls is uppermost. An unsaved person, wherever you are, right now, at the beginning of this year, you need to give attention to the welfare of your soul. Bearing in mind, this time last year, there were those who were feeling just like you do now. Perhaps procrastinating, feeling good, thinking there'll be another time. Your opportunity is gone forever. God has brought you into this year. And I trust that as we look at the word tonight, that we will give consideration to our soul. The title this evening is, New Year, Same Hope. New Year, Same Hope. You read there in verse 18, it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, or the word meaning deceive or to disappoint, can't do that. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. New year, same hope. Some words I want to draw your attention to briefly this evening. The first one is a word of explanation. You have a fair idea what hope is. Hope is something that man finds it almost impossible to do without. In whatever area of life you care to look at, in the business world, men must have hope. Extremely difficult for some at the present time, but if they're to see a way ahead at all, they must see a glimmer of hope there. Those who are studying in high school or university in particular, they may have lost out in these past weeks. Things may be very different from what they thought they would be, but there must be that hope there. Mankind in general, as he gets up every morning and gives himself to whatever his duty is for the day, some kind of hope regarding something is in his mind. And as we use the word just now, explanation, we're looking here at the hope that is set before us. New year, but the same hope. And this hope is something that is to be laid hold on. It is something that the Bible calls, if you look at chapter 7 and verse 19 in the book of Hebrews there, you will see that it is set before us, but it is, if you read the Word of God and study it, it is this better hope. And of course it is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ as he's presented to men and women like us in the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Read you some words. Read over there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You'll note if you study the two epistles to Timothy that Paul was very careful to continually be uplifting Timothy. He seemed to be a timid young man, maybe discouraged at times, and Paul was careful to have him remember what he had in the Lord Jesus Christ, an unsaved person. This is something you don't have right now. You don't have this better hope. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Titus, in chapter 2, and verse 13, we read there of a blessed hope. Let's have a look in Hebrews again, this time in chapter 10. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. And the verse, Hebrews 10 and verse 10. Says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Whoever you are, I trust you believe that Christ offered one sacrifice for sin forever. It says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And brethren and sisters, those words and those verses remind us of all that is provided by this blessed hope. A couple of years ago, I don't watch television very often. In fact, I was remarking to my family there that when we watched one or two things, I usually watch Zulu. Zulu is on every year for the past 20 years. I watch it every year. And very little else. But anyway, a couple of years ago, I don't know what I was watching, but I flicked the television over, and there was some program coming to an end, and there's a lady speaking. And this is what she said. I don't know who was running this, but she said, if you do not have the Lord Jesus personally, there is no other hope for you. And that was the end of the program. And how true those words were. If you do not have the Lord Jesus personally, there is no other hope for you. And all around us in Northern Ireland today, there's extreme pressure and anxiety and a feeling of emptiness. A feeling of emptiness with men and women, perhaps, that there hasn't been really in my lifetime. Great stress that even when I was growing up as a boy, in the midst of the troubles, when there were lots of things going on, it wasn't any worse than what it's censored to be at the present time. And I wonder, as you look into your heart this evening, as we seek to explain to you here that the hope set before you is the Lord Jesus Christ, as that lady said, your only hope, I wonder what you're going to do regarding that hope. Some years ago, when I was still working as a coal man and was going in around little country lanes every week, there's one area I used to go to on a Wednesday. And there were two brothers who lived together, I won't name them. And then there was another one who lived way on around the road a bit. He lived in what they called the home place. And one Wednesday, when I was going around that road, there was a person who knew them who, with great sadness, told me some details of what had happened. And he said concerning the man who lived in the home place, he'd never been married, and he just lived there on his own, as an elderly person now. But he lived quite an ungodly life. And There was a well at the site of this house, and because there's children here tonight, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but you know what happened. It was despairing and feeling empty, and at the top of the well, they just found an open Bible. That's all. They just found an open Bible. Of course, he was in the well. And it was very evident to everyone. People who were not Christians were telling me that he had the Bible open. And then people would say, you know, maybe he got religious before this. And I don't know. But I always remember that as an evidence of the great despair that there is among men and women. People searching. The Bible we read of the Ethiopian eunuch. A man who was willing, perhaps like that man I've mentioned to you, to open the Bible and searching, but he didn't really know what he was looking for. But he realized there was something missing in his life. And folks, he didn't have any hope. He didn't have any hope. And as we enter 2021, do you have any real hope? New year. Same hope, only hope, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the word explanation. But then there is the word expression. When the gospel is preached in fullness, there is what we call the free offer of the gospel of God's grace. And it shows us very clearly God's concern for lost sinners, but also God's great provision for sinners. Over there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul was speaking here of how the Lord had changed him. And he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And he says in the verse before that, he's ready to preach it. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Paul knew from personal experience that this was the remedy, the preaching of the gospel, the uplifting of Christ. Christ said, I am lifted up from the earth. And in those immediate contexts there, he may have been referring to Calvary. And we certainly agree that he was lifted up on the cross. But he said, I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, or some of all kinds of men, unto me. And in preaching, he sought to lift them up. And Paul sought to lift them up, and he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." How did he know? He experienced it. He experienced it because I believe that he listened to God's servant Stephen preaching it. I'm sure others too. Certainly listened to Stephen. Over there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. It's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 is a lovely verse. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I think I mentioned before, but I heard a man many years ago in the open air, standing in Port Rush, just preaching in that verse, and he told me afterward, he said, "I love that verse." He said, "Being justified freely by his grace," and I can understand why he loves it. But if you look at verse 29, "whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." Now the word propitiation simply means mercy seat, or to be invested with propitiatory power. It's referring to Christ as the sacrifice and as the altar and as the mercy seat, he says, to be a propitiation through his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of their past through the forbearance of God. The gospel of Christ is presented to men and women, wherever they are, and whatever their background is. However hard you've been, hardness is something which is abounding today in the hearts of many. But we're looking here at the word expression. Looking at this hope being expressed, Christ being uplifted in the preaching of the word. I mentioned just a few minutes ago there, Stephen. Maybe you turn please to Acts chapter 7. To Stephen, just before he died, Acts chapter 7, you know that he was martyred because of his love for the Lord and his forthright preaching of the gospel. And he said to the folk there that he was speaking with, and I want to say that Stephen was not being hurtful or arrogant, and he was not seeking to point score over anyone. He was speaking to men with needy souls. He says to them in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Could that be said of you? Another year has gone, how many opportunities? Could it be said of you now in January that you do always resist the Holy Ghost? Stiff-necked there means being something that is not moved, something that is hardened. The reference sometimes referring to a yoke on the neck of an oxen. Maybe their neck's a little tender to start with, but with the yoke going on every day, it becomes harder and harder and harder to, it comes to the point where they don't really feel it. Not true with the gospel that sometimes people in their early years seem to show a tenderness and a little brokenness. Certainly an ear to listen to the word. But as the years go by, and I can tell you, I could bring you to people in my own family circle, don't need to go any further than that. Could bring you to them, and there is a lot of hardness there now. How things have changed. And Stephen here says to the men who are going to kill him, he's stiff-necked and stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And when they heard that, look at verse 54. It says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Sometimes the truth is painful. It's necessary. But sometimes it's painful because it exposes things as they are. Verse 57. It says, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. The word stop literally means they held them together. I haven't actually seen anyone doing that in the meeting yet when I'm preaching, but maybe that day is coming. And the thought of this whole passage, what Stephen is doing here, if you look back just a chapter or two to chapter 5 and verse 33, referring to some others, it says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Men hate the gospel. They hate the gospel because they love their sin. And yet I want to say to you, men and women, the gospel has not failed. Across the world tonight, there are still those who are coming as sinners to Jesus, and they're coming just as they are. And when I think tonight of this hope, new year, same hope, I think of the explanation of the hope. It's Christ, and well, you know that. But I think of the expression of this hope. It is Him being preached. All of you know that for a number of years, I was in the church in Bridlington for over 5 years in England, and there were a few people there. In fact, I've said before that I find it easier there to win souls to the Lord than here. For all its hardness, there were quite a number of people professed during our time there. But there was one really, really nice lady who still comes to the work there. And she brought her sister along one day to the service. And she was very, very pleasant. The sister was a very, very pleasant person. And she came maybe on another occasion as well. And then she took on well. She had been in the house, in her own house, and they thought that she had taken a stroke. It turned out that it was a brain tumor she had. And in the coming months after that, I visited her on several occasions. And the last time I was with her, I said to her, and I called her by her name, I said, "You and me, The most important thing in all of our life is to make sure that we have trusted the Lord Jesus. Now, there was a lady who, before that, she didn't have any gospel background. She had come in, perhaps, to our meeting, maybe the first time she'd ever heard the gospel. She told me that occasion. She said, "I have done that." And it was just a few days after that she passed away. I wonder what you're going to do. As we seek to uplift Christ as the only Savior of men, the one who offered one sacrifice for sin forever. You can have a long lifetime, but there's nothing you can do to change what he has done. And there's nothing you can do to add to what he has done. Preaching of the gospel is what we aim to continue to do. And that is the expression of this hope. But then there is then the word expectation. Whenever the gospel is preached, it does not call you to search into your heart and find a little bit of merit, because as a sinner you don't have any. And you're not in a state of equilibrium where you can be swayed in one way or the other. The flame there, and if you go the right way, it'll be fanned and it'll grow. In total darkness, deadness. Because that is what the Bible teaches. Therefore, the expectation is that you will not only hear the truth about this hope, but that you will appropriate the truth to yourself. That you will come just as you are. Now, it's interesting in this passage in Hebrews chapter 6 that Paul, in verse 18, is who he believed to be the writer to the Hebrews. In verse 18, he's speaking about their who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. He is, most commentators believe, referring to an Old Testament situation where there was what were known as the cities of refuge. God had appointed them, and in Numbers, I'll just read you one verse, Numbers chapter 35, it says in verse 15, "These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them." Therefore, it's for everyone. For the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Here's a story in miniature. A man or woman may be going about their business, living with no fear of anyone or anything really, living in peace and even in a degree of comfort, and something might happen, as it sometimes does, and someone is accidentally killed. Well, what they had to do then was not sit around and say, "Well, I didn't mean it. We were working on the house and this is what happened." They would flee. They had to get up and flee to one of these cities of refuge. You can read about them there in Joshua chapter 20. They had to personally flee in order to find security and safety, in order to avoid the avenger of blood who was the next of kin of the person who had been killed accidentally. So therefore there was that very serious responsibility that rested upon them, not to sit and think things over and to feel scared and to feel guilty and to feel, "Well, what am I going to do now?" They had to flee. And dear unsafe person, that's what you have to do. That's the illustration that the apostle here was using in the book of Hebrews. Fleeing to lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. You know, one of my favorite texts in the Old Testament is Isaiah 55. I've preached on it before, where Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, preached there in verse 1, "Whoever you want to thirst, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money, and without Christ." Charles Spurgeon preached on it. I don't know if he preached on it more than once, but he certainly did once anyway. And whenever he was speaking about it, of course it is an invitation to men to come to Christ just as they are. And Spurgeon said concerning this invitation, "The difficulty with the traders in London is that they cannot get the folks up to their price, because you're always looking for a bargain." They said, "This Sunday evening, my difficulty with you is that I cannot get you down to my price. Because what I'm offering here, what God is offering, is without money and without praise. And that being the case, men and women, you've nothing to add. But I want to emphasize as strongly as I possibly can, you have to repent, you have to turn. You have to embrace this hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to flee to Him. Some have done that in 2020. There are any number who haven't. Another word here, it is the word extent. Thinking here of Christ, the hope. Remember the title, New Year, Same Hope. One of the Puritan writers, I'm not sure if it was Thomas Manton, it may have been, said there are three words by which the fruit and effects of certainty and assurance can be expressed. One of them was peace. And only tonight, only you can answer that question. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Peace from the accusation of conscience. Through the year, the public houses in Northern Ireland filled with many people drinking themselves stupid. And there are a percentage of them there, and they're doing that because their conscience troubles them terribly. They don't have any peace. A Christian can have plenty of problems, but a Christian has peace with God, and you can have it. Now, one of the words that Manton used was peace. The other one was joy. He said, the world's joy is a fleeting thing. The Christian's joy is a settled principle. So it is. The other word was comfort. And he said comfort comes from both peace and joy. And he said, men and women, I offer you tonight the comfort that is found in Christ. And this is the extent of this hope. When you think of life as it's been up to now, you've been missing out on real peace. You've had your joys, but they've all fizzled out. Even the greatest joys are so often tainted. But what about comfort? People have heard Northern Ireland at the end of their tether. There's comfort in Christ if you will come to Him tonight. Another word, this is the final one, is the word excellent. See, Christ is not a second-rate Savior. Look what it says about Him there. Hope is found in Him in verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I mentioned at the very start the importance of your soul. There are many other things that we need to look to, but in love tonight, men and women, more than anything, you need to see to the welfare of your soul. And I want to say concerning this anchor, an anchor needs to be secured. It needs to be secured. If you take an anchor to the ocean, it must be firmly embedded in the ocean there in order to be able to fulfill its purpose. But not only must an anchor need to be secured when the storm comes, it must be connected to the vessel that it's going to keep steady. Priscilla, somebody who wrote my lovely hymn, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And folks, it is one thing to know that the anchor is there. And I want to say this tonight. You can know that this anchor is secure because it's Christ. He's called the rock in the Bible. But knowing about Him is not enough. The anchor must be connected to the vessel. And as far as you're concerned tonight, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. You're brought into union with Him. When you come as a sinner to Him. And therefore the Christian's hope tonight cannot fail. And that shows to us the excellency of this hope. That's why we don't want to change it. New year, same hope. And the Christian soul cannot fail unless God's veracity fails, unless Christ's blood loses its saving power. Now look again, please, if you would, at verse 20. It says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Your anchor in mind tonight is in heaven. That verse 20 explains verse 19. The anchor of the soul. So, in a sense, God has made it easy for you. All the work has been done by Christ. Through preaching, he's uplifted and you're shown the way. But for many people tonight, you still don't have an anchor because you haven't come. You haven't turned from your sin. And that being the case tonight, could I ask you respectfully, where does your security lie? We brought some details this morning from our model text to show believers that while there's nothing guaranteed in this world in 2021, that we have the word of Christ well on us richly, then we have so much. Christian has so much by way of assurance and by way of confidence in their union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your security line? Gathering up things is not going to help you any. Any affiliation with any religious movement will do nothing for you if you do not have the Savior. I hope tonight that you will consider this, yes, it's a new year, consider the same hope. And it's a hope that is set before us and is set before you tonight in the gospel. We lift him up in a substitutionary work, dying there in the place of sinners. We lift him up there in a satisfying work. He satisfied the righteous indignation of the Holy God. We lift him up in his saving work. He will save all who will come.